Explained that when Krishna wants to enjoy, then he expands himself as Radharani. But this when is only for us, because we're the ones who think in terms of beginning and end. Actually, Krishna is always enjoying. So Radharani is always there to give him pleasure. So there's no question of when. So I just returned to Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Mandir after some 5 months, and first of all, I was feeling quite exhausted from the jet lag, and then from other things too. And then they asked me to give this class on the appearance day of Srimati Radharani. And I thought to myself, if there's anyone in the temple who is more unqualified to speak on Radhastami, surely I don't know of them. In other words, I certainly, in general, do not feel qualified to speak about Srimati Radharani, about anything for that matter, but especially Srimati Radharani. And there are so many devotees here who do know some pastimes of Srimati Radharani. There's not much spoken about Srimati Radharani in Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Sukadev Goswami tries to conceal her identity. This is something very wonderful. What I will do, there's a lot from the Puranas, not so many of the Puranas, but something, especially the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, which I don't have access to, and also from Padma Purana and other Puranas. There are Leelas about Radharani. There's very, very little about her appearance. In fact, Prabhupada mentions it once in all of his books and letters and lectures. He mentions Radharani's appearance once, and even that is mysterious. He describes how the father of Srimati Radharani, Vrishabhanu, was plowing the fields and found Srimati Radharani in the fields while plowing. He found her somewhat very much like Sita Devi's appearance. Now there's another story that I've heard. I can't corroborate, I can't substantiate this, but I've also heard another story that she appears floating down the Yamuna on a lotus flower. But anyway, we'll take Srila Prabhupada's version from his lecture, that Srimati Radharani appeared in that way, self-manifest. And of course, the only reason for her appearance was to give pleasure to Lord Krishna. There's a list of Srimati Radharani's 25 transcendental qualities by which she controls Krishna. Now, in general, it's very hard to understand the character of a woman. In fact, it may be the most difficult thing to understand in the material world. Just to illustrate, there are many, many stories One person was telling me about in California in the USA, one man was walking along the beach and he came across a lamp, you know, Aladdin's lamp, a lamp. You know, you rub the lamp and the genie comes out of the lamp, the boot. I don't know what you'd call him. What do you call him? Boot? Genie? So he comes out of the bottle, out of the lamp, and he says to the man, I've been doing a lot of overtime lately, and I'm not going to give you three wishes. Usually you get three wishes from a genie. He says, you can only have one wish. So the man is very happy. And he says that I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. Now some of you may have heard of Hawaii from Radha Krishna Das. That's where he goes for his vacations. Is Radha Krishna Das here? No. He's probably going to Hawaii. Anyway, Hawaii is a very tropical island. Prabhupada said it's not possible to be happy in the material world, but maybe it's possible in Hawaii. It's very beautiful. The weather's always beautiful. The fruits and flowers are beautiful. Everything about Hawaii is nice. And it's, I think, 100 miles or so off the coast of California. So the man says, I want to go to Hawaii, but I don't like flying in airplanes, and I get seasick when I go on boats. So I want you to build me a bridge from California, 100 miles to Hawaii, so I can drive my car there. So then the genie says, are you crazy? Do you realize how much steel and how much concrete and how much effort it would take to build such a bridge? It's impossible. Make another wish. So then the man said, well, I've been married a few times. In the West, people, you don't ask a man, are you married? You ask him, how many times have you been married? unfortunate disaster in Kali Yuga. There's no shelter. Anyway, the man says, I've been married and divorced a number of times, and each time the women tell me that I'm not sensitive enough. So I want you to give me the knowledge so that I can understand the character of a woman. When she gets angry with me but doesn't say anything to me, she keeps quiet, how do I know what she's thinking? And when she cries, what does she mean by that crying? What does she want? And this way he asked so many questions about the character of a woman. And then finally the genie said, do you want that bridge to be two lanes or four lanes? So now we're going to talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a woman. And we should understand that everything here is a perverted reflection. So similarly, the characteristics of Radharani are, and all the gopis for that matter, but especially Radharani, are very, very difficult to understand. She has all feminine qualities in the superlative. She's expert at everything, even including her eyes, moving her eyes, you know, to attract Krishna. She knows how to look out the corner of her eyes just to catch his attention. So we'll read these 25 qualities, and then we'll discuss some more from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and from portions of the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. So the first quality, of course, Krishna has 64 transcendental qualities by which he exhibits his influence, by which he is especial, by which he is supreme. But Radharani only needs 25 qualities by which she can control Krishna. Her first quality is that she is very, very sweet. She is sweetness personified. You won't find another female more sweet than Radharani, and a man is captured by a woman's sweetness. She is always freshly youthful. She's a fresh young girl. So Radharani was actually born 1 year before Krishna. But somehow or other, story has it that she didn't really open her eyes until after Krishna was born. So on the one hand, she's older than Krishna, but she didn't actually appear in her full bloom until after Krishna was born. So although she's older, in some ways she's also younger. And she's a fresh young girl. Her eyes are restless. Here we go. I love this. Her eyes are always moving. So this is bewitching to a man. A woman is attracted when a man speaks sweet words in her ear. She's attracted by her ear. But a man is attracted by his eyes. He sees the form of a woman and he's captured. And then if his eyes happen to lock into her eyes, then he's conquered. He's finished. He's a puppet now. No longer in charge of himself. So Radharani is expert at capturing Krishna's eyes, because her eyes are always darting, moving, looking as if something suspicious is going on or something exciting, you know. She smiles brightly. She is always brightly smiling. It's said that her smile is like the smell of camphor. Very bright, smiling, and fresh. So today is a good day to go over to Dheeraj and buy a little lump of camphor and keep it in your shirt. And all day long you can think of Radharani smiling when you think of camphor. She has beautiful auspicious lines. She possesses all auspicious marks on her body. Now, actually Radharani has on her feet, Krishna has 19 main symbols on his feet, very auspicious symbols. There are four or five main ones, the conch, the flag, the lotus, goad, elephant goad, and barley corn, of all things. I just recently found out that barley corn, I don't know what, I guess barley is like what we throw in the fire sacrifice, that's barley corn. That's one of the symbols on Krishna's feet. So those 19 are also there on Radharani's lotus feet. But hers are a little bit different. Krishna has more on his right foot and less on his left foot. And Radharani has more on her left foot and less on her right foot. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following detailed description of Srimati Radharani's footprints as given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Ujjwala Nilamani. At the base of the large toe of her foot, there's a mark of a barley corn. So look at your large toe now. And keep yourself awake. You can look at your foot. At the base of the large toe, if you have a barley corn, then you're 1/19 of Radharani. Below that mark is a disc, Krishna's discus, chakra. Below the disc is an umbrella, and below the umbrella is a bracelet. This is her left foot. A vertical line extends from the middle of her foot to the juncture of her large toe and her second toe. At the base of the middle toe is a lotus. Below that is a flag with a banner, and below the flag is a creeper together with a flower. At the base of her small toe is an elephant goad. I mean, the thing by which you control elephants, the mahout. And upon her heel is a half moon. Thus there are 11 marks on her left foot. At the base of the large toe on her right foot is a conch shell. Below that a spear. At the base of the small toe of her right foot is a sacrificial altar. Now there's a few things here that Radharani has that Krishna doesn't have. He doesn't have the sacrificial altar. And there's a few others there I noticed. Below that, an earring. Krishna doesn't have an earring. Below the earring, a spear. Krishna has a thunderbolt, but Krishna doesn't have a spear. I don't know why. Although the base of the second, third, fourth, and small toes is the mark of a mountain. Now, Krishna has triangles and water pots on his foot. But here Radharani has the mark of a mountain, below which is a chariot, and on the heel is a fish. The Krishna also doesn't have a chariot, although he's Partha Sarathi, but he doesn't have the chariot. Radharani has the chariot. That's amazing. Thus altogether there are 19 distinguishing marks. So Radharani has many distinguishing marks on her body, and they all enhance her beauty. They all identify her as unique personality. Radharani is the only devotee of Krishna who experiences Mahabhava, the highest stage of love of God. Of course, Lord Chaitanya experienced the mood of Radharani, so he also exhibited symptoms of Mahabhava. But that was only because he couldn't understand Radharani's ecstasy. She makes Krishna happy with her bodily aroma. She can agitate Krishna by the flavor of her person. Does anybody know anything about Radharani's bodily aroma? What is it compared to? Huh? Her bodily aroma is compared to the fragrance of a lotus flower? Yeah? Okay. We never get any lotuses here. Darn. Only lilies. She can agitate Krishna. She is very expert in singing. She is expert in the art of singing. Now, this singing art is very special. I was reading about Rishyasringa, the sage Rishyasringa. So his father was also a great ascetic, and he happened to be approached by one Apsara. If you think that because you go to the forest and you're practicing meditation and tapasya, you no longer have to worry about, sex or contact with the opposite sex. Well, from what I read, all the biggest rishis get attacked all the time. So you really have to be transcendental, like Prabhupada said to Haridas Thakur, even though he was approached by Maya Devi in person and by Hira, who was sent by the Qazi, or was he a Qazi? Anyway, it was a Muslim. Ramchandra Khan, right. But what was his position? A governor, yeah, Qazi. Okay. So, anyway, this father of Rishyasringa was attacked by an apsara, and he said, "You can't attract me. I'm not attracted. I'm free from the desire to see the form of a woman. But she had learned the art of singing, and she caught him by her beautiful singing. It wasn't that she was so attractive physically to him, but her singing was so sweet that he fell down. So Radharani, yeah, she's expert at attracting Krishna, although Krishna prides himself in being, you know, ajita or unconquerable, but he gets attracted, he gets conquered by Radharani's singing. Her speech is charming. She can speak nicely and sweetly. Now Radharani is one of the left-wing gopis. They're the right-wing and the left-wing gopis. So the right-wing gopis are very sweet. They talk sweetly. They never get angry. They always try to please their beloved. But the left-wing, they get jealous. They become very angry. And Radharani is of that left-wing camp. Actually, the right-wing gopis are called Dakshin gopis. And I was just thinking, the left-wing are referred to as Vama, V-A-M-A. So I was thinking, if you're going downtown today and you see that, you know, there's that building where they have Vama, you know, you can think of Radharani today and think, oh, Radharani's a left-wing gopi and there's Vama. And you can keep yourself Radharani conscious. But she is expert at speaking sweetly when she wants to. She is very expert in joking and speaking pleasantly. She's expert in presenting feminine attractions. Our problem is we get agitated by the opposite sex, and we get disturbed, and it causes us so much distress, both trying to control our emotions, and then even if we react, the reaction to our action, we get entangled with the opposite sex, and we commit sinful activities, and, you know, there's always a reaction. There's nothing in the material world that works properly. But these feminine attractions are actually meant to attract Krishna, to attract the supreme male. And that's why we're trying to cheat Krishna. We're trying to pretend that we are Krishna. That's why we get ourselves in trouble. That's why we suffer so much. She is very humble and meek. She is modest and gentle. 11, she is always full of mercy. She is always very merciful. This is a story that I read some time ago. I may not have the details exactly correct, but once, it's the story of Tulsi Devi. Maybe someone can help me. There was one gopi. Krishna was having Ras Lila dance, and there was one gopi whom Krishna started to favor, and he carried her away from the rasa dance and started to associate with her. And then left wing Radharani became very, very jealous, very angry, and she heard that Krishna's gone off with this gopi, so she immediately went with her assistants, and those number in the thousands, and so many unlimited assistants. So she went to the place where that gopi and Krishna were, and Krishna immediately disappeared. He got out of the way, but that gopi was left there, and Radharani cursed her to take birth in the material world. And then she went after Krishna. She wasn't satisfied. Krishna disappeared. He thought he had escaped. But she went after him, and she found him, and he was with Subal. I believe it was Subal. It was Sridhama. Okay, I wasn't sure, Subal or Sridhama. So he was with Sridhama, and Radharani became you know, very angry with Krishna, began blaspheming him, chastising him, and she just went on, and Sri Dama couldn't tolerate it. So he began to defend Krishna, and then Radharani became angry with him, but still he couldn't tolerate Krishna being blasphemed that way, even by Radharani. So then Radharani sent her assistants, all these, you know, beautiful gopi ladies, to beat him, you know. Not, you know, it's not like you can, you know, punch them or something or defend yourself. When ladies attack you, you're finished, you know. You just have to take the beating. But anyway, still he was still protesting. And finally Radharani got very upset and cursed him that you will have to take birth in the material world. And he eventually took birth as Shankarachuda. And then that story with Tulsi. But the point was that when he realized that he had to take birth in the material world, he began to cry because he didn't want to leave Krishna. And he realized that he was going to have to leave, and he started to go, picked up his bags, and, you know, he was. And then Radharani became very soft, and she said, "That's all right, Sri Dham, you don't have to go, you can stay, please come back." You know, she became very merciful. But then Krishna solved the problem. He said, "Look, he'll be gone in the material world for a fraction of a second in our time. So don't worry, he'll be back very quickly." But although she can be very strong and powerful and angry and sometimes, you know, heavy. I'm going to say vicious, but she's not vicious, but she can be heavy. She cursed Sridhar. Go. But then she immediately became very merciful and gentle. She is cunning. She is transcendentally cunning. Well, we know from Chanakya Niti that the female species are very cunning. They always get their man, as we say in the Canadian Mounted Police Force. We always get our man. She's expert in executing her duties. She knows how to dress nicely. This is one of the special qualities of Srimati Radharani, that she's an expert. Of course, Krishna's an expert dresser also. So to see them together is really... You see how expertly they dress themselves today. She is shy. So she can be one side or the other. She can also be shy. Although this is a characteristic of a right-wing gopi, to be shy. But Radharani... she has this quality, how to be shy. And shyness is the best quality in a woman. It's very attractive in a woman. Not today's style of, you know, arrogance and competition with men and trying to wear the jeans, you know, in the family. And that's not attractive. It may invoke your lust, but it doesn't make you want to, you know, have a deeper relationship. It just brings out your mood of exploitation. When a woman is arrogant, you just think, you know, exploitation. At least a materialist thinks that way. A devotee thinks, oh, this poor woman, she's in the wrong consciousness. She is always grave. She's very grave. She can become very, very serious. Actually, Prabhupada said the meaning of gravity, one sort of meaning of gravity when we see a person very sober and very serious and no joking, you know, like I'm not very grave, sometimes you meet people who are very grave. That's one meaning. But Prabhupada gave another meaning of gravity or grave, as when nobody knows what you're thinking. That is gravity. When nobody is able to understand what you're thinking, and certainly no one is able to understand what Radharani is thinking at any given time. Overall, she's always thinking of Krishna, but she is always calm, she is always patient, she is always respectful. She's expert in enjoying life. So Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So it's not that the gopis are chaste in one sense. They want to give Krishna unlimited enjoyment. They know how to enjoy. And of course, for us, we're just learning to control our senses. We're practicing tapasya, austerity. So for us to delve deeply into some of the esoteric literatures dealing with Radha and Krishna might have a deleterious effect. It might have the wrong effect. In other words, we see this. People go to Bhagavat Saptas and the Katankar speaks on Radharani kissing Krishna and this and that and gets very intimate. And then people, they get into the mood, yes, I'm Krishna and my wife is Radharani and what I'm seeing here on stage, we'll go home and do, we'll have our Radha Krishna Leela. That danger is there. I mean, it's really there. People think like that. I've met many people who have told me, yes, I'm Krishna, my wife is Radha. Huh? It's prevalent, right? You see it. But Radharani does know how to enjoy life. And we should know that we will know everything about Krishna in due time, when Krishna wants us to know. But we can enjoy life just by worshipping Radharani. She is situated at the topmost level of ecstatic love. She's always situated on the highest devotional platform, Mahabhava. She is the reservoir of loving affairs in Gokula, and she's the abode of love of the residents of Gokula. She is the most famous of submissive devotees, and she can give shelter to all kinds of devotees. So Srimati Radharani is in charge of devotional service. You cannot please Krishna without pleasing Radharani first. In fact, of course, in Vrindavan, Bhakti Devi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. And she is in charge of bhakti, but ultimately we need Radharani's mercy, Radharani's blessings. And you see in Vrindavan, people are, at least I, in the days when I was there in Vrindavan, I saw so many instances where people are actually not, they know Krishna, but they're not really devotees of Krishna. And this they've learned from their childhood. They're devotees of Radharani. They want Radharani's mercy. And I've seen it even in the simplest. Once I was in Vrindavan Gurukula, and there was a man bringing 100-pound sack of potatoes. He was a potato wala, delivery man. He had his cycle, and he rode into the compound from the servant's entrance, and he had this big sack of potatoes. And he was carrying it towards the Gurukula kitchen, which is on the ground floor. There's a storehouse there. And I was watching him from up above, and the whole time he was singing, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. He didn't know I was, he wasn't on show. It wasn't, you know, he was gonna get extra pay because he said Jai Radhe. He just, spontaneously, he was, and all over the walls, the graffiti, you know, what's written on the walls is transcendental graffiti, and everywhere you see Jai Radhe in Vrindavan. So she is the abode of love of the residents of Gokula. She's most famous of submissive devotees. She can give shelter to all kinds of devotees. She's very affectionate to elderly people. So she is always affectionate to superiors and inferiors. So that's good news for Narmada and me and Bhakti Swarup Damodar Radharani. be merciful to elders. All you young folks, you can't get the mercy. She is very submissive to the love of her friends. She's always obliged by her dealings of her associates. She is the chief gopi. She is the greatest amongst Krishna's girlfriends. And 25, she always keeps Krishna under her control. In other words, you know, men always think that they're the controllers, that women are the weaker sex, and that they can, you know, maybe physically they can create havoc. But I remember once being on a television program where the announcer played a trick on me. It was a television program, and they were talking about the GBC and about ISKCON in general. And so was a lady announcer. And then just at a point when things seemed to be going well, she threw in a trick question. She said, "How many women do you have on your GBC body?" And I, you know, I was trapped. I didn't know what to say, because that was, in America, that was obviously an important issue. How many women are there on your management committee? So I didn't know what to say, but I said, "Well, actually, many of our GBC men are married, and they're like any man, completely under the control of their wives. So the GBC body is controlled by women, so you don't have to worry." Anyway, she has Krishna under her control. I would like you to know, you think God is in control of the universe. It's not so. Radharani's in control. And she always keeps Krishna under control. She possesses unlimited transcendental qualities. Now, the name Radharani, as I said, it's not very obvious. It's concealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami specifically keeps her concealed, but she is mentioned. Her name does come out in Aradhyate, Aradhya, which means one who provides worship. So Radharani is, of course, the topmost worshipper. So her name, Radha, comes from Aradhana or Radhita. There's an interesting description here from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary. "The sage Sukadeva Goswami has tried with all endeavor to keep her name hidden, but now it automatically shines forth from the moon of his mouth." So from the moon of Sukadeva's mouth. "That he has spoken her name is indeed her mercy. And thus the word Aradhita is like the rumbling of a kettle drum sounded to announce her great good fortune. Although the gopis spoke as if jealous of Srimati Radharani, they were actually ecstatic to see that she had captured Krishna." This is another thing. You can never tell. The gopis were fighting to be with Krishna. But when they saw that Radharani had captured Krishna, externally they were showing jealousy. But in their hearts they were actually very, very pleased. There's a lot here that's just straight reading, and I know that this can put many people to sleep, but I'm going to risk it, because there's a lot of nectar, and even if a few of you only get the nectar, well, that's one of the benefits of staying awake. "When Sri Krishna suddenly disappeared from the arena of the rasa dance, the gopis, their minds fully absorbed in thoughts of him, began to look for him in various forests. From all the moving and non-moving creatures, they asked for news of Krishna's whereabouts. Finally, they became so upset that they began imitating his pastimes. Later, while wandering in a corner of the forest, the gopis saw Krishna's footprints, which appeared mixed with Srimati Radharani's. This is something very, very interesting also, that we hear so much about Krishna's lotus footprints and how people would see his footprints in the mud in Vrindavan and they would bow down. But actually, you would think Krishna's always wandering with his cowherd boyfriends, with so many cows, the grounds are slightly muddy. You know, if you walk in a group of people like that, you may make a footprint, but within a few seconds your footprint will be erased by other people. But the fact is that the residents of Vrindavan, whenever they see Krishna's footprints, they immediately preserve it. They don't allow it to be washed away by any cow's footprints or any cowherd boy's footprints. They just see those footprints and they become intoxicated and they preserve them. So, seeing these footprints, they saw Radharani and Krishna's footprints together. It disturbed them greatly and they declared that surely Srimati Radharani must have worshipped Krishna with unusual excellence, since he had been privileged to associate with him in seclusion. Further along the path, the gopis came to a place where they could no longer see Srimati Radharani's footprints. They then concluded that Krishna must have taken Radharani on his shoulders. Now, this is all their imagination, but they're so absorbed that their imagination is very, very active. And they understand Krishna's mind and they understand Radharani's mind a little bit. They understand their intention. So they're thinking like this, that now Radharani's footprints have disappeared, so Krishna must have picked her up on his shoulders and he's carrying her. In another place, they noticed that Krishna's footprints were showing only the toes. They didn't see the whole footprint, they just saw the toes. And thus the gopis concluded that he was picking flowers with which to decorate his beloved. So when you're picking flowers, you stand up on your toes to reach the tree to get the flower. So they saw the toes and they thought, oh, now he's making flower garlands for Radharani. They were all envious and, you know, in great distress. Jealous, not envious, jealous. In another place, they noticed that... in yet another spot, the gopis saw signs that led them to imagine that Sri Krishna had been tying the locks of Srimati Radharani's hair. All these thoughts brought pain to the gopis' minds. Because of the special attraction she received, special attention she received from Krishna, Srimati Radharani began to consider herself the most fortunate of women. She told him, here we go, this is it. She told him that she could walk no further and that he would have to carry her on his shoulders. But just then, Lord Krishna disappeared from her sight. She became a little proud and thought she could directly. She can control Krishna, but she has to be careful how she does it. She can't just order him. That would be too direct. But she has to use her cunningness and her deceptiveness to control him. So Radharani became extremely troubled and began looking for Krishna everywhere. When she finally met her gopi friends, she related to them what had happened. All the gopis then went to look for Lord Krishna in the forest, going as far as the moonlight reached. But in the end, they were unsuccessful, so they went back to the shore of the Yamuna and simply sang Krishna's glories in utter helplessness. So they were going deeper and deeper into Vrindavan forest, and the trees gradually blocked out the moon, so it was too dark. And they thought they wouldn't be able to see Krishna's lotus feet in the darkness. So they thought, no use anymore. they went back to the Yamuna. From the 10th canto, 34th verse, 30th chapter, 34th verse. The Acharyas explained that Sri Krishna wanted to decorate Radharani's hair with forest flowers he had collected. Therefore, they sat down together facing the same direction, with Radharani between Krishna's knees. And Krishna proceeded to arrange her hair with flowers and make a crown, a flower crown for her, coronating her as the goddess of the forest. So sometimes you get a garland of Radharani, maybe some small deity, you know, and you put it on your head because it won't go around your neck. And this is actually like a crown. When someone is made the king or the queen, they get a crown. So Krishna is decorating Radharani's hair in such a way that it looks like she has a flower crown, and he's joking with her. So I now coronate you as queen of the Vrindavan forest. Vrindavaneshwari. Radhe, Radhe. So they were, that was their loving pastime. Just like boys and girls do. Thus the romantic young boy and girl played and joked together in Vrindavan. Srimati Radharani was exhibiting the pride of a beautiful girl who has brought her boyfriend under control. Thus she told Krishna, "Please carry me wherever you want to go. I can't walk anymore." Sri Krishna now disappears from her sight, intensifying her ecstatic. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has quoted 20 verses describing a joking conversation between Radha and Krishna that took place after Krishna had killed the demon Arista, Aristasura. So, you know, Arista is a male cow. So Krishna killed the demon, and the gopis took the chance, because they were a little upset with Krishna because he was always leaving their association, and Krishna was teasing the gopis, teasing them in the sense that he would do things to agitate their minds. He intended to draw out their loving feelings, but they took it in a painful way, that you're just torturing us. So they took this opportunity to get back at Krishna, to get revenge for his torturing. This conversation is kindly quoted by Vishwanath Chakravarti, and it describes the origin of Radhakund, Shyamakund, Radha's and Krishna's bathing ponds. The verses are as follows. The innocent young gopi said, "Ah, Krishna, don't touch us now, O killer of a bull." They're calling Krishna, "You're a bull killer. You're an animal killer. Don't touch us. You're contaminated." Alas, even though Arista was a terrible demon, still he was a male cow. So you will also have to undergo atonement, just as Lord Indra did after killing Vritrasura. So, Lord Indra was contaminated by sin for killing Vritrasura, although he had to kill Vritrasura, but there was sin attached to that because Vritrasura was a Brahmana. So he had to distribute that sin, and we know he distributed it in different places, like in Limkas, and he distributed, Indra gave Limka this part of the sin, and Canadian syrup, sap from a tree, and he gave benediction and both benediction and curse together. So in the same way the gopis are saying, "You're going to have to do the same thing because you're sinful, Krishna." Krishna replied, "Why should I have to wander throughout the entire universe? Well, the gopis said earlier, but how can you purify yourself without going to the trouble of visiting every single holy place in the three worlds? So they were saying, your sin is so terrible that you're going to have to go to all the holy places and perform tapasya. You don't touch us. You're a sinful cow killer, and you have to be purified. So then Krishna says, why should I have to wander throughout the entire universe? I'll at once bring all the countless pilgrimage places here, and I'll take my bath in them. Just watch. So Krishna's boasting now. With this, Lord Mukunda struck his heel on the ground. Then he said, this is the water of Bhogavati River, coming from the Patala region. Now, what is that Bhogavati River? Do you know anything about that? Anybody? Coming from the Patala Loka. Just the way Ganges comes from Vaikuntha, the Bhogavati comes from Patala. Anyway, this is the Bhogavati River coming from the Patala region. And now, oh holy places, all of you, please come here. When the Supreme Lord had spoken these words, all the holy places went there and appeared before him. Krishna then addressed the gopis as follows. See? All the holy places. I don't have to go around the world. They all came to me. But the gopis replied, we don't see them as you describe. Then the best of the holy places, joining their palms in prayer, spoke up. I am the salt ocean. I am the ocean of milk. I am Amara Dirgika. I am River Sona. I am Sindhu. I am Tamraparni. I am the holy place Pushkara. I am the river Saraswati. And we are Godavari, Yamuna, and Reva rivers, and the confluence of the rivers at Prayag. Just see our waters. So Krishna has ordered all these holy places to announce themselves. So they're, you know, Krishna's still, he's trying to impress Radharani and the gopis that he's all-powerful and these are his opulences. And this is part of loving affairs between a man and a woman. A man tries to impress with his material opulences. You read in the Mahabharata, every time some king approaches some woman, and the first thing he does is tell her all his great feats, how much land he has, how many battles he's won, how much this he's done, and you know, he's got to boast a little bit. So after purifying himself by bathing, Lord Hari became quite arrogant and said, I have produced a pond containing all the various holy places, whereas you gopis must never have executed any religious duties on this earth for the pleasure of Lord Brahma. Then Srimati Radharani addressed her girlfriends as follows. I must create an even more beautiful pond, so go to work. Having heard these words, the gopis saw that Aristasura's hooves had dug a shallow ditch just west of Sri Krishna's pond. At that nearby spot, all the gopis began digging up lumps of soft mud with their hands. And in this way, a divine pond manifested in a short span of an hour. So, you know, this is the way Krishna and Radharani and all the heavenly, all the Vishnu Tattva, of course, and even great demigods, they're far greater in their potency than we can imagine. Yesterday we were discussing, how is it that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita in half an hour? It's not possible. Have you ever sat down and tried to read Bhagavad Gita? It takes at least 2 or 3 hours. And that's if you're going on and on and on and on in 700 verses. But Krishna spoke it in half an hour. And our conclusion was that Krishna can lengthen or shorten time as he likes. And here are the gopis. They were in 1 hour, they dug Radhakund with the palms of their hands. Impossible, you might say, but not for the gopis. And especially Radharani's followers, they're very empowered. At that Krishna was astonished to see the lake they produced, but he said, "Go ahead, lotus-eyed one." Krishna speaking, "Go ahead, lotus-eyed one. You and your companions should fill this pond with water from mine." So Krishna's pond was just east of Radhakund. They were quite close together. And Krishna had filled up his pond with all the holy places water. And he was saying, "All right, you've built yourself a lake. Now go ahead, fill it up with water from my pond." And Radharani said, "Forget it. I'm not going to touch water that's been contaminated by you, you cow killer." She's still on this cow killer thing, still criticizing him. Radha replied, No, this is impossible. Since the water of your pond is contaminated by your terrible sin of killing a cow, I will have my countless gopi companions bring the pure water of the Manasaganga here in billions of pots. In this way, I will fill this lake with my own water and thus make its renown unequal in the entire world. So Radharani was determined that she was going to make her pond more famous than Krishna's pond. So here's this competition. They're actually madly in love with each other. They can't wait to dance together in the Rasleela night and embrace. But here they are in front of all these gopis and all these demigods, and they're having this big fight, you know. Radharani's just chastising Krishna like anything, and Krishna's worried now. Now he's worried because he knows that Radharani can, he's just seen her dig Radhakund. So he knows that she probably could fill up with billions of pots her kunda from Manasaganga. So then he says, Lord Krishna gestured to a heavenly personality who was an intimate associate of all the holy places. Suddenly that person rose up out of Krishna's pond and bowed to the daughter of Sri Vrishabhanu, Radharani. Then with palms joined and tears pouring from his eyes, he began praying to her in devotion. That's how you have to pray to Radharani, with palms joined and tears in your eyes. That's a real prayer when your heart has become like butter and you pray to Radharani, "Please give me devotional service. Please, I need devotional service. I'm suffering in this material world. I'm sinful. I'm wretched. I'm fallen. But you please pick me up. And somehow, I'm not qualified, but all I can do is pray to you. Please save me." So we have to pray to Radharani with tears in our eyes. And Krishna's heavenly friend was praying in that way with devotion. O goddess, even Lord Brahma himself, the knower of all scriptures, cannot understand your glories, nor can Lord Shiva or Lakshmi. Only Krishna, the supreme goal of all human endeavor, can understand them. And thus he feels obliged to personally make sure that you can wash away your perspiration when you are fatigued. He is always anointing your lotus feet with nectarian charu and yavaka, and decorating them with ankle bells. And he rejoices and feels most fortunate simply by satisfying the tips of the toes of your lotus feet. On his order, we have immediately come here to live in this most excellent pond, which he created by one stroke of his heel. But only if you now feel satisfied with us and bestow upon us your merciful glance, will the tree of our desire bear fruit. So again, Krishna's surrendering to Radharani through, he hasn't directly surrendered to her yet, but through this celestial being, he's surrendering. Hearing this prayer spoken by the representative of the full assembly of the holy places, Sri Radha was well pleased and said, "So kindly tell me your desire." They then told her plainly, "Our lives would be successful if we could come to your pond. That is the benediction we desire." Glancing at her beloved, now she's talking to this celestial, And he's asking for the favor. But Radharani also knows that it's actually a dialogue going on between her and Krishna. Although the celestial is praying to her, but she knows it's all about Krishna. So, glancing at her beloved from the corners of her eyes, the daughter of Vrishabhanu replied with a smile, "Please come." Her gopi companions all agreed with her decision and became immersed in the ocean of happiness. Indeed, the beauty of all creatures, both mobile and stationary, was enhanced. Thus, gaining the grace of Srimati Radharani, the holy rivers and lakes in Sri Krishna Kund forcibly broke through its boundary walls and sweetly filled Radha Kund with their rivers. Lord Hari then said, "My dear Radha, may this pond of yours become even more world-renowned, more famous than mine. I will always come here to bathe and to enjoy my water pastimes. Indeed, this lake is as dear to me as you are." Radha replied, "I will come to bathe in your pond as well." Now they're making up. You see, they were fighting, but now, "I love you." No, I love you. You know, it's okay. I'll bathe in your pond. No, I want to bathe in your pond. You're not a cow killer. Like that. Radha replied, "I will come to bathe in your pond as well, even though you may kill hundreds of Aristasura demons here." So, "you chastised Aristasura, and who bathes or resides here is sure to become very dear to me." That night, Lord Krishna initiated a rasa dance at Radha Kund, generating a torrent of the greatest mood of splendorous pleasure. Sri Krishna resembled a cloud, and Srimati Radharani a brilliant flash of lightning, filling the sky with abundant beauty. In this way, their divine glories permeated the expansions of the three worlds. So, there's more nectar from the 10th canto. One gopi said, "O honey bee, O friend of a cheater, don't touch me with your whiskers, which are smeared with kumkum that rubbed onto Krishna's garland when it was crushed by the breasts of a rival lover." So, men generally don't wear kumkum. The only way Krishna's gonna get kumkum on his garland as if he's had contact with a woman, and especially they put kumkum in their hair and also sometimes in their breast. So the garland is going to be at the breast level. The gopis can understand that this kumkum is because Krishna's been embracing some other woman. So here this gopi is chastising the bumblebee that, "I see your whiskers on your mouth." You know, bumblebee has, if you study, you know, microscope, bumblebee's got little whiskers. And he's been flying around the garland. She's imagining this. She doesn't know it for sure. But, you know, the gopis are constantly thinking of Krishna. They're totally, not paranoid exactly, but what is Krishna doing now? You know, is he with the queens in Dwarka, or is he in Mathura, in his palace, or, you know, why is he not here? So she's thinking, imagining that this bumblebee has been flying near Krishna's garland, which has got kumkum on it, and because his whiskers have touched the garland, he's also now got kumkum on his whiskers. So she's chastising the bumblebee, "Get away from me. I don't want to be touched by this kumkum, which is, you know, come from Krishna's being unfaithful to us." "Let Krishna satisfy the women of Mathura. One who sends a messenger like you will certainly be ridiculed in the Yadus dynasty." Purport. Srimati Radharani indirectly chastised Krishna by chastising the bumblebee, which she took for his messenger. again, she's got, you know, there's no, it's not like the bumblebee came and announced himself and started speaking in Brajabhasha. This is all in Radharani's imagination. She addressed the bumblebee as Madhupa, or one who drinks the nectar of flowers. And she addressed Krishna as Madhupati, or the Lord of Madhu. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti points out that this and the following nine verses exemplify 10 kinds of impulsive speech spoken by a lover. This verse illustrates the qualities of prajalpa, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami in the following verse of his Ujjvala Nilamani, 14.182. So, impulsive speech, spoken on an impulse without thinking about it. You know, it just comes. So this is a category of prajalpa, when we speak without thinking, and we speak about things which are not very grave or sober. So this is there also in Krishna and Radharani, but of course this prajalpa and our prajalpa are totally different. Prajalpa is speech that denigrates. Denigrates means belittles or makes less of. The tactlessness, tactful, when one is tactful, they are very careful not to say anything that will offend someone, something like diplomacy or tact. They're sort of like synonyms. So, prajalpa is speech that denigrates the tactlessness of one's lover with expressions of disrespect. It is spoken in a mood of envy, jealousy, and pride. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that the word kithava bando expresses envy. The phrase from sapatnya to naha, jealousy, the phrase ma, sparsha angrim, pride, and the phrase from bahatu to prasadam, disrespect, while the phrase from yadu sadasi to the end of the verse decries Krishna's tactless treatment to Radharani. So the gopis really feel that Krishna has been very tactless. And if you examine his dealings with them on the surface, it looks like he's not very tactful. He called them out from their homes. Many of them were married, and even those that weren't married were underage, and you know, they were all, for them to be out in the night dancing with a young boy is just, I mean, that's 5,000 years ago. Today, you don't get away with it that easily. Or even 500 years ago, it was, you would be, if you were a woman's, reputation would be totally spoiled. Prabhupada said that his mother would not even go next door. Not even go next door unless there was an invitation sent and there was a chaperone, a guide, and that a carriage was sent. In other words, she wouldn't walk on the street. A women did not walk on the street and display themselves as objects of lust for men. They kept themselves properly concealed. So that's only, you know, 100 years ago. So what to speak of 5,000 years ago? And Krishna's totally destroyed all that. He's called the gopis out. And then he left them. First of all, he destroys their reputation. Then he just leaves them. So that's tactless. Not very much, showing very much tact. Of course, it's all transcendental, but it's worshipable. But this is what we're dealing with. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, in the spiritual world, all the female lovers are goddesses of fortune, and the male lover is the Supreme Personality. Thus, Srila Jiva Goswami explains, Srimati Rukmini Devi is a plenary portion of Srimati Radharani. The Kartika Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana, Kaishori Gopa Kanyastha Yovane Raja Kanyakaha. In childhood, Sri Krishna enjoyed with the daughters of coward men, and in his adolescence he enjoyed with the daughters of kings. That's interesting to note. He enjoyed, of course, in his adolescence in Vrindavan and later on in Mathura and Dwarka. Skanda Purana, we find this statement, Rukmini is in Dwarka what Radha is in the forest of Vrindavan. In this context, the words Maya Mrgam indicate the special exalted relationship between Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. Maya also indicates the internal potency of Krishna, Yoga Maya. The original form of Krishna's internal potency is Srimati Radharani. Due to the inconceivable love of Srimati Radharani, Lord Krishna becomes easily controlled by her. Thus, mrigam, or animal, in this case, indicates krita mrigam, or a toy animal. Just as a young, beautiful girl may play with so many dolls or stuffed animals, similarly, Lord Krishna becomes just like a doll in the hands of the most beautiful young girl, Srimati Radharani. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Srimati Radharani performed innumerable types of worship in order to bind Krishna more and more and more to her, because Srimati Radharani cannot live without Krishna. So, partially, Radharani is attracting Krishna. She's his pleasure potency. But she's also, the greatest pain in her heart is to be separated from Krishna. So when she has Krishna, she wants to bind him. And it's almost like out of fear of being separated. She knows there's potentially I could be separated from him again. So she tries to throw her ropes around him and tie him up by various, not physical ropes, but heart ropes. She catches Krishna's heart and catches his mind by all of her artistic talents, all of her feminine qualities. She wants to keep him in Vrindavan. Just like we see, women want to keep a man in the house. You know, they want to keep him at home. They don't like him to go off traveling here and there. So they know how to attract him and keep him. So Krishna is just like a mrigam, just like a toy doll, animal doll, krita mrigam. Thus, due to Srimati Radharani's aradhana, or worship, Krishna can never leave Vrindavan. He runs here and there in Vrindavan, protecting the cows, playing with his friends, and engaging in countless intrigues of love with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Thus, the word anvadavat indicates Krishna's boyish activities. He's running throughout the transcendental land of Vrindavan, tightly under the control of the love of Srimati Radharani. In all the ancient literatures of devotional service, and in the more recent songs of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and other unalloyed Vaishnavas, the spiritual master is always considered to be either one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani or a manifested representation of Srila Nityananda Prabhu. So, of course, there's etiquette in dealing with everyone. We think that the spiritual master has been sent to us by Srimati Radharani or by Nityananda Prabhu. And there's a proper etiquette. I have Garga Muni. I'll never forget the story he told me when he first came to India in 1970, and they went to East Bengal, and there were many, many pious devotees there, and there was one program, and they had never seen Western Vaishnavas. It was just And they were completely amazed that Westerners, they thought they were some kind of demigods or something. And one man approached Garga Muni and said that, my wife and these other ladies there, they're burning with desire for Krishna's lotus feet, so they want you to put your lotus feet on their breasts to cool down their breasts. Which, Garga Muni, wait a second here. That is for Krishna, that is for Radharani and gopis. But although the spiritual master may be considered to be a representative of Nityananda Prabhu, or even an associate of Srimati Radharani, but there's a lot more to understanding the science of guru worship than just this. It is not that Radharani is separate from Krishna. Radharani is also Krishna, for there is no difference between the energy and the energetic. Without energy, there is no meaning to the energetic, and without the energetic, there is no energy. Similarly, without Radha, there is no meaning to Krishna, and without Krishna, there is no meaning to Radha. Sometimes we see paintings in people's houses, pictures of Krishna up in the sky, alone. Okay, sometimes he's got his flute, and people say, well, the flute is one of his paraphernalia, so he's not alone. But actually, we don't worship Krishna alone. We always worship him in the company of his devotees and associates, and especially Radha Krishna. We are worshippers of Radha Krishna, and we like to see Radha Krishna in people's homes, not just Krishna in the sky, even no matter how angelic, that it's always some beautiful angelic looking painting of Krishna, and people are, oh, this is a Swamiji, I want you to see this wonderful picture of Krishna that I have. And no, we don't like to see that without Radharani. Because Vaishnava philosophy first pays obeisances to and worships the internal pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. Thus the Lord and his potency are always referred to as Radha Krishna. Similarly, Lakshmi Narayan. Similarly, Sitaram. The potency always comes first. Radha and Krishna are one, and when Krishna desires to enjoy pleasure, he manifests himself as Radharani. The spiritual exchange of love between Radha and Krishna is the actual display of Krishna's internal pleasure potency. Although we speak of Krishna when Krishna desires, just when did he desire, we cannot say. We only speak in this way because of conditioned life. There are some quotes here from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which, of course, what I've been reading so far has been from the 10th canto from Vishwanath Chakravarti and Jiva Goswami and other commentators. But this is directly from Srila Prabhupada. The unadulterated action of the Ladini Shakti is displayed in the dealings of the damsels of Braja and Srimati Radharani, who is the topmost participant in that transcendental group. The essence of Ladini Shakti is love of Godhead. The essence of love of Godhead is bhava, or transcendental sentiment. And the highest pitch of that bhava is called Mahabhava. Srimati Radharani is the personified embodiment of these three aspects of transcendental consciousness. She is therefore the highest principle in love of Godhead and is the supreme lovable object of Sri Krishna. Okay. There are actually, there's about five more pages to go of Nectar. Should I go on reading, or would you like to stop class now? How many people would like to continue reading? Oh, Radharani. Okay, we continue. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Okay, good. Now, the Adi Lilas, it's full of technical descriptions. Srimati Radharani expands herself in multi-forms as the goddesses of fortune, the queens, and the damsels of Braja. So, the Lakshmi is an expansion of Radharani. All the queens of Vrindavan, the residents, damsels of Vrindavan, are expansions of Radharani, and similarly the queens in Dwarka and Mathura. Such expansions from Srimati Radharani are all her plenary portions. All these womanly forms of Krishna are, actually it says, all the damsels of Braja are the plenary portions of Srimati Radharani. That's very ecstatic. That plenary portion means there's no difference in potency. They may manifest different degrees, just like Vishnu Tattva incarnations may appear and not exhibit the full opulence of Krishna. Similarly, the residents of Braja, when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, they were all expansions of Radharani, but they were acting in different ways, in concert, in unison with the original source of expansion, Srimati Radharani. So actually the whole Leela in Vrindavan, the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, everything, it was more or less just Radha and Krishna having a royal love affair. And they expanded themselves in so many forms to make the opulence of that love affair very attractive. But it was really they themselves in different forms. There is no difference between the original form and the reflected forms. The expansions have been compared to reflected forms. The female reflections of Krishna's pleasure potency are as good as Krishna himself. So the female reflections of Krishna's pleasure potency, in other words, the expansions of Radharani, just as Radharani is as good as Krishna, similarly her expansions in Braja are also as good as Krishna. The plenary expansions of Krishna's personality are called Vaibhava Vilas and Vaibhava Prakash, and Radha's expansions are similarly described. The goddess of fortune are her Vaibhava Vilas forms, and the queens are her Vaibhava Prakash forms. The personal associates of Radharani, the damsels of Braja, are direct expansions of her body. As expansions of her personal form and transcendental disposition, her transcendental mood, they are agents of different reciprocations of love, exchanges of love, in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, under the supreme direction of Srimati Radharani. In the transcendental realm, enjoyment is fully relished in variety. The exuberance of transcendental mellows is increased by the association of a large number of personalities similar to Radharani, who are also known as gopis or sakis. The variety of innumerable mistresses is a source of relish for Sri Krishna, and therefore these expansions from Srimati Radharani are necessary for enhancing the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. Their transcendental exchanges of love are the super excellent affairs of the pastimes in Vrindavan. By these expansions of Srimati Radharani's personal body, she helps Lord Krishna taste the rasa dance and other similar activities. Srimati Radharani being the central petal of the Ras Lila lotus flower is also known by the names found in the following verses. It is said that the gopis are divided into five groups, namely Sakis, Nitya Sakis, Prana Sakis, Priya Sakis, and Parama Preshta Sakis. All these fair complexion associates of Srimati Radharani are, I'm sorry, all these fair complexioned associates of Srimati Radharani, the Queen of Vrindavan Dham, are expert artists in evoking erotic sentiments in Krishna. The Parama Preshta Sakis are 8 in number, and in the ecstatic dealings of Krishna and Radha, they side sometimes with Krishna and at other times with Radharani, just to create a situation in which it appears that they favor one against the other. That makes the exchange of mellows more palatable. Now, I've heard, we've all heard there are 8 principal gopis, right? But I've heard different descriptions of those 8 principal gopis. Like in Mayapur, Radha Madhava Asta Sakhi includes Champakalata and Sudevi, Sridevi, who else? Rangadevi, You can't hear. Anyway, there are 8 principal gopis named, but then I've heard another list, I think it's somewhere in here, and they're described as the supreme 8 principal gopis. Anyway, the 8 principal gopis are called Parama Preshta Sakis. My dear auspicious Radharani, your body is the source of all beauty. Your red lips are softer than the scents of immortal sweetness. Your face bears the aroma of a lotus flower. Your sweet words defeat the vibrations of the cuckoo, and your limbs are cooler than the pulp of sandalwood. All my transcendental senses are overwhelmed in ecstatic pleasure by tasting you, who are completely decorated by beautiful qualities. This is all from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The name Radha is derived from this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, from the words Anaya Radhita, meaning by her the Lord is worshipped. Sometimes the critics of Srimad Bhagavatam find it difficult to find Radharani's holy name in the Bhagavatam, but the secret is disclosed here in the word Aradhita, from which the name Radha has come. Of course, the name of Radharani is directly mentioned in other Puranas. This gopi's worship of Krishna is topmost, and therefore her name is Radha, or the topmost worshipper. So, Annaya Radhita, or by her the Lord is worshipped, the meaning of Annaya Radhita. By her the Lord is worshipped. That's there in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. So Radha has been taken out from that Annaya Radhika. And obviously she's the topmost worshipper. Sugandhi Udvartana refers to a paste made of several perfumes and fragrant oils. Sugandhi Udvartana. Do you have that in the marketplace? Do they sell Udgandhi Vartana? They have many kinds of Udgandhi, Sugandhi rather. They have many kinds of Sugandhi, but they don't have Udvartana. Maybe that's a good name. Maybe should start a business. Sugandhi Udvartana. This paste is massaged all over the body, and in this way the body's dirt and perspiration are removed. Srimati Radharani's body is automatically perfumed when her body is massaged with the scented paste of Lord Krishna's affection. Now, hear this. Her body is massaged with the scented paste. Maybe that's why we don't have this Sugandhi Udvartana, because it's metaphorical. But Radharani's body is smeared with the paste of Lord Krishna's affection. Her entire body is doubly perfumed and made brilliant and lustrous. Uh, This is the beginning of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's description of Srimati Radharani's transcendental body. This description, found in verses 165 through 181, is based on a book by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami known as Premam Bhoja Maranda. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's translation of the original Sanskrit reads as follows. The love of the gopis for Krishna is full of transcendental ecstasies. It appears to be a brilliant jewel, and enlightened by such a transcendental jewel, Radharani's body is further perfumed and decorated with kumkum. In the morning, her body is bathed in the nectar of compassion. In the afternoon, in the nectar of youth. And in the evening, in the nectar of luster. Luster means just like someone who's very young and very fresh. They're lustrous. They have a luster to their body, a kind of brightness that's, you know, the opposite of luster is dull. No shining. So, in the evening, Radharani takes on a very strong luster, and that's when she goes out to meet Krishna. In this way, the bathing is performed and her body becomes as brilliant as the Chintamani jewel. She is dressed in various kinds of silken garments, one of which is her natural shyness. A silken garment. One of which is her natural shyness. Her beauty is more and more enhanced, being decorated with red kumkum of beauty itself and the blackish musk of conjugal love. Thus her body is decorated with different colors. Her ornaments embody the natural symptoms of ecstasy, trembling, tears, jubilation, stunning perspiration, faltering of the voice, bodily redness, madness, and dullness. In this way, her entire body is bedecked with these 9 different jewels. Over and above this, the beauty of her body is enhanced by her transcendental qualities, which constitute the flower garland hanging on her body. The ecstasy of love for Krishna is known as dhira and adhira, or sober and restless. Dhira and adhira. Such ecstasy constitutes the covering of Srimati Radharani's body, and it is adorned by camphor. Her transcendental anger toward Krishna is embodied as the arrangement of the hair on her head, and the tilak of her great fortune shines on her beautiful forehead. Srimati Radharani's earrings are the holy names of Krishna. They're always reddish due to the betel nut of ecstatic affection for Krishna. The black ointment around her eyes is her tricky behavior with Krishna, brought about by love. Her joking with Krishna and gentle smiling constitute the camphor with which she is perfumed. She sleeps in her room with the aroma of pride, and when she lies down in her bed, the transcendental variety of her loving ecstasies is like a jeweled locket in the midst of her necklace of separation. Her transcendental breasts are covered by her sari in the form of affection and anger toward Krishna. So Radharani's breasts are covered by her sari in the form of both affection for Krishna and anger towards Krishna. She has a stringed instrument known as a kachapi veena, which is the fame and fortune that actually dries up the faces and breasts of the other gopis. She always keeps her hands on the shoulder of her gopi friend, who represents her youthful beauty. And although she is highly qualified with so many spiritual assets, she is nonetheless affected by the cupid known as Krishna. Thus she is defeated. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami offers his respectful obeisances to Srimati Radharani, taking a straw in his mouth. Indeed he prays, O Gandharvika, Srimati Radharani, just as Lord Krishna never rejects a surrendered soul, please don't reject me. This is a summary translation of the Premam Bhoja Maranda, which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes. Okay, I am going to stop there. And later on, very soon, in about an hour, there will be Abhishekam and nice kirtan and... What? And prasadam to Narayana Swami says, be sure to get some of the plum chutney. Radha.